11:30, huh? So we got about half an hour more to go. Okay, there's a slight change in the program. I was told the monk in charge of this temple, he is free at 2:30. He will come in at 2:30. So we shift the making of offering and all those things forward to today at 2:30. At 2:30, we will assemble here 2:15. Oh no, 1:30 we come back already. So we'll be here, so don't worry. Okay, good. So what we will do is we will summarize all the collection from the donation and the offering. So what has been summarized on the whiteboard is Sui An has already has the final figure, the food donation we received, sponsors 8,286, then the temple donation is 10,214. Then what about the expense and the collection, is it balanced? Oh, you need to tablet. Oh, okay. So it's about this figure, huh? So don't worry, the rest we will donate back to Kayanamita Fund, huh? We had in mind a few donations. One of them is to this temple, the main one. So the present figure is about 10,214. Because this temple is very, very conducive for cultivator, for people who come here to meditate, to develop the understanding and the retreat. And they really very sincere, the management, they use the money for good use. That's why you see all our facilities, they are very good. The hot water, the very clean room, and even the blanket, my side one has been changed. I think all has been changed. They try to provide whatever support they can to all the yogi. Then we really appreciate that they allow us to use this venue, which is very conducive for meditation, to hold a 9-day retreat. And this is our fourth year. So all this, we out of gratitude and understanding, we need to play our part. So when we make this offering on behalf of all the devotees within the common pool. The common pool is for the retreat fund. So we pull all the money together, and whatever merits that this common pool do, everybody get to partake, okay? But for those who donate with specific specification, you have already made known that it's for the temple fund, we will donate it to temple fund. Then the rest, we will assign accordingly. We will also donate to Subang Jaya New Building Fund. We earmark, I think, 1,000. Then later on, we see what are the other funds that we can donate to. We may donate to Wat Na Long, because we are going there end of the year. Then Sompa also. Then maybe Anandagiri. This year, Katina, I think a group of us are going to. So all these are very wholesome offering. You all should rejoice that it will bring about a lot of wholesomeness. Okay, now I will maybe continue with our Dhamma sharing. Where is Brother Tay? We should thank Brother Tay. He spotted one very good mistake. The word rapture is wrong. It should be rapture. R-A-P, not R-U-P. Rapture means split, break. Whereas rapture is bliss, happy, joy, elated. like a lot of joy, a lot of elated feeling, very good feeling. Whereas rupture is like that thing rupture, the branch rupture. So we make the wrong choice of words. Where's Padmasri? Oh, Putai. Oh, Bratil, you take note of that. Not only 1-3, I think many places. His computer program can scan. Change this word to this word. Pop or change. Brother Tung can do it. You don't need to look where it is. He just type in. This word become this word. Then all with this word will become that word. Very good. Thank you so much. Brother Sadhu. Okay. You all can play your role. You detect any English grammar mistake or what, let us know. So that when we reprint this book, we will capture all this. Earlier on, I remember the form and mind without the mind. We spotted it, but don't know why. Before we print out again, the table didn't big enough, not big enough. Then the word missing again. Okay, we will now continue from where we stopped. No, wherever you see pity, then I explain. Pity is spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, or spiritual rupture. Rupture should be rapture. As long as you know the meaning, it's okay. Okay, now we continue. May. Where is May? Can you have to read?
Choiceless, not making any choices or decisions. Awareness is just silent. And then choiceless means what? You don't try to make a choice. There is no decision of what you're aware of. Like the Buddha saying, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there's no one to see as yet. It is just the consciousness, just like the physics experiment. Upon the contact, the light bulb lights up, which means the consciousness before you input the contact. The consciousness just arises naturally. Can't you just be aware of the consciousness? The pure consciousness before you input the content of consciousness. The trouble with you is you are so fast and by memory, you already label it as flower, book, etc. because of your conditioned thinking. That's why you cannot see. In order to see, you must have this ability to be silent and you must have sati and samadhi. Otherwise, these aggregates of mind, they'll arise very fast. The mind stir and they come up very fast and you cannot do anything about it. So that's why when you read J. Krishnamurti's quote, sati is awareness. And what is awareness? J. Krishnamurti said, awareness is the silent and the choiceless observation of what is. What is the reality before the labeling, the actual thing. So don't try to go and develop a duality to react to what you see or observe. That's why it is just a choiceless observation of the reality of what is. And what is means the isness of thing or the reality. Isness is suchness. That's why the Buddha is called the Tathagata, who is an expert in Tathata, and the Tathata is suchness. So the choiceless observation of what is observing the isness of things, or is just the silent awareness of the reality within the moment. Listening attentively without thought. Sister Monica questioned, in one of my meditation on Thursday, correct me if I am wrong, whether that is sati or not, I could hear the talk that you were giving, and I know that there were brothers and sisters around me, but there was this joy in me. I wasn't thinking, and I know that it was after the whole thing that I started to recollect back. I was so joyful. I know that there was Brother Teo talking, and there were people around, but just that and then nothing else. Brother Teo answered, okay, sadhu. Because when you listen attentively, there is no interference from your thought, from your opinions, your views, your conditionings, etc. You don't comment inside that. You just listen attentively, without any reaction. That's what choiceless awareness is all about. But the moment you perceive or the mind cognizes, that's already the mind coming out of sati. But in her case, she is very good, because she did not allow it to continue to think, which means there is awareness. Then there is a perception of Brother Teo talking, all the vibrations, etc. Just goes in. Then if she wants to understand, she can understand. But she did not arise any thought to interfere, which means there is no will, opinion, or conditioning coming out of it. Just an open mind that listens. No right, no wrong. That's how I investigate with a silent mind to find out whether it is the truth or not. When I can listen attentively without thought, which means I have very good sati awareness, then this sati can do Dhamma investigation. Sakaya Ditti, or self-delusion, and the three evil roots. I will go on with the JK's quote that you will understand better. The quote said, awareness is the silent and the choiceless observation of what is. Then it goes on to say, problem will always exist where the activities of the self are dominant. Can you all understand this statement or not? What are the activities of the self? Self is what? Self is the ego, the personality, the I, and the me. And this egoic mind is your thought, or the five mental aggregates. When there is Sakaya Ditti, or self-delusion, then this thought becomes egoic, which means the thought will have selfishness, emotion, doubt, and fear, etc. And they are part of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So it is exactly like what the Buddha taught. Problems will always exist where activities of the self, conditioned by self-delusion, are dominant, or when the three evil roots are there. Because when there is this self-delusion to grasp at the form and mind, thinking that this is you, whether it is the human being or the mental five aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanna, sankara, and vijnana, then suffering will arise. Any of these five aggregates of form and mind, if you grasp and cling through self-delusion, thinking that feeling is you, that all these external forms you see, you can own or possess them, and thinking that all of the perceptions that you perceive and label are real, also can be owned, can be possessed, including all of the views and opinions that you're holding on to, plus all of the phenomena and things that you become conscious of, you can grasp and cling onto them via giving them meaning, then suffering will follow you. Hence the reason why the Buddha said in his first Noble Truth, final summary. In short, the grasping aggregates, or upadana khandas, are dukkha. So the teaching is exactly the same, because the thought, which is the five mental aggregates, if you grasp onto them as the me and the I via self-delusion, then suffering will arise. Or like what J. Krishnamurti said via his daily quote, so problems will always exist where the activities of the self, which is self-delusion, are dominant. To be aware which are and which are not the activities of the self needs constant vigilance. Be constantly aware and heedful. Constant vigilance here means constantly aware and heedful. That is, when the evil roots are there, when the self is there, when the selfishness, the emotional negativities, the fear, and the manifestation of the mental ego are there, you have to be aware. That's what vigilance means. The Buddha used the words constantly aware, which is the same as vigilance. That's why in certain books, heedfulness is also translated as vigilance. So it is only when you are constantly aware, only when you can do something about it, otherwise you cannot, because the mind is so fast. Vigilance awareness is not discipline or focused attention. Then what did Krishnamurti say? This vigilance is not a disciplined attention. Understand or not? Just like what I had told you all earlier on. How do you discipline and how do you know what discipline is? Just like in the military. Full discipline, you must do this, you must do that, you must note this and you must note that. You must meditate like that. And all these are disciplined attention or focused attention. Understand or not? But awareness has nothing to do with the thought. Who discipline? The thought wants to be disciplined. The thought wants to be aware. The thought wants to be maintain attention. And the worst is, the thought wants to meditate. And what happens when the meditator, which is the thought, is so actively meditating? You are no longer aware, because you are verbalizing via the thought. Now you can laugh, but last time you just follow instructions and do without understanding. You are just being gullible. This vigilance is not a disciplined attention, because once the thought is active, then you're no longer in sati already. For sati is awareness, or the silence before the thinking or knowing. Since vigilance or sati is an extensive awareness, which is choiceless as opposed to disciplined attention, which is thought-based, hence the reason why J. Krishnamurti go on to say that disciplined attention gives strength to the self. This is because when a user of thought is deluded, then thought will be egoic. Egoic means self-centered. So when you try to discipline and when you try to meditate with the thought or when you try to be aware, it is already a disciplined attention already, because the trying is by the thought. And when thought is there, you give it mental energy, and this will strengthen the self, the ego, which is the personality. Then what happened? You can no longer see things as they are, because you are preoccupied with the doing via the thoughts, hence you lack clarity. Whereas awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, induced, and there is nobody inside there to be aware. It is just an awareness nature, which is the essence of mind. The silent mind, which is just aware, a general spacious or specific phenomenon awareness before the knowing or labeling via thoughts or the aggregates of mind. Meaning of what is. Awareness of sati is the silent and the choiceless observation of what is. What is suchness, the isness of things, the reality or the truth. Not a concept, not an ideal, not what you perceive to be, just what is, that reality. Silence means mentally silent, not just you don't talk. Then choiceless awareness means no views, no opinions, and no judgment, etc. You don't go on and decide, and you don't go and discriminate. You don't go and create dualities out of nothing. So awareness is the silent and choiceless awareness, observation of the truth or the reality, which is the same as when you see things as they are. It means the truth, which is also what is, or the isness of things. Self-delusion and seeing things as they are. Then J. Krishnamurti said, problems will always exist when the activities of the self are dominant. Self, as you know, is your atta, your self-delusion, your misconception that condition you to cling on to these five aggregates of form and mind, both aspects. The first aspect of it as a human being. We have a physical body or form, first aggregate. Then we all have a mind which can feel, perceive, think and become conscious, the other four mental aggregates. Combining them, we have the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind as a human being or a living being. The second aspect is the five mental aggregates of form and mind that arise with every moment of sense door consciousness. When you attach and cling, there is this ego or personality that you create, and that is what Krishnamurti called the self. The moment you have this egoic mind or the sense of self created, then it is capable of selfishness, emotional negativities, and fear through delusion, hence conditioning the three evil roots to arise. And that's why J. Krishnamurti also said the same via his quote, that problems will always exist when the activities of the self, which is the egoic mind or self-delusion, are dominant. Then he said, in order to be aware which are and which are not the activities of the self, you need constant vigilance. And this vigilance is not a disciplined attention. Disciplined attention means regimented attention, which means through the thought you want to be aware, and through the thought you want to discipline yourself. Like this is how you should meditate, and this is how you should note. This is how you should do things. All these are discipline or focus and tension, and not a silent general awareness. So when you understand that vigilance is not a disciplined attention, but an extensive awareness which is choiceless, then you can develop the understanding of what sati or awareness is. Then Krishnamurti goes on to say, the disciplined attention gives strength to the self, because the thought which is egoic is involved. So when you try to discipline and meditate with a thought, or when you try to be aware, who is trying? The thought is trying, and when the thought is there, you give energy to it, and it will strengthen the self or the ego. Then what happened? You become more deluded and heedless. Whereas awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, and there is nobody inside there to be aware. It is just an awareness nature, and the essence of mind which is just aware and ever mindful within. It is just like inquiring, who is aware of the silence of the nature? In the middle of the night, when there is no more vibration, which means no more hearing consciousness, but yet there is still a nature within you that can be aware of that silence, that stillness, the mind that doesn't chatter anymore because there is no more thought and it is not a conditioned arising consciousness. So who is aware of that silence? It is just the essence of mind that is aware of the silence. And that is your true nature, your true mind, but you seldom or hardly touches it. Even when you touch it momentarily, it is so fast and you couldn't recognize it. For most of you, you only know thoughts. That is the only instrument you have been using rampantly to live life since birth. And that is why you have a lot of problem and suffering. And because that you cannot develop the ability to be aware. It is because when your thoughts are so rampantly proliferating, you hardly got any space between thoughts to experience the silence. The space between thoughts. Can remember or not? The space between thoughts, which we discussed at our recently concluded Cameron Highlands retreat. When you think continuously until you got no more space between thoughts, hence there is no more clarity of mind to be aware because you are so preoccupied with the thoughts, and this space between thoughts, which is very important, is not there. Between thoughts, first and the second thought, there is this space in between. When you have this space, you can then realize that this space is silence, peace and tranquility, leading to stillness. When you are without thought, that is what you will experience. This space between thoughts can only be realized by the true cultivator of the way. And they are so different because thoughts can only be, because this is heedful living. And most of the time, you are constantly aware and ever mindful. So this is the part. If you cannot understand because you never meditate until your mind is so quiet and so still, then you can never understand what sati is. For sati can only be understood when you have realized it. The moment the form and mind realize it, it will know what sati is. No need any words or explanation. So, the space between thoughts is very important. Reason why J. Krishnamurti said, awareness on the other hand is not self-induced, nor it is the outcome of a practice. Who practice? The thought practice meditation. That is why it is different, because the real sati is without thought. Understand or not?
Very good. We stop for a while. The space between thought is very important. If you cannot experience that, it's very difficult for you to develop the meditation because you cannot silence. Your aggregate are active, constantly thinking, heedlessly arising until it becomes habitual. If you don't have this understanding, the spiritual faculty, the training, you cannot stop your thought. They are very, very powerful because of the heedlessness and the habitual tendency. Avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorant activity of maya. That's why you think a lot, you become heedless. And to counter it, you need to have spiritual faculty. You need to develop certain training of the mind to overcome all this. So the mundane mind that is deluded need to be trained. Then through the training, like the dog, when it understands that if it listens to the master, it is peaceful, it's happy. So likewise, when the thought understands that if I listen to the master or the owner who have the wisdom, then I don't have suffering, I don't have problem. And then this thought will know how to silence, quiet down. That it cannot arise because the spiritual faculty is there, the right view is there, the understanding is there. Then your way of living life become different. You become more and more mindful, more and more heedful. Then you have less and less thinking. Because as you straighten your view, you got less ignorant, avijja. So that link weaken. Then you start to have more and more space, more and more clarity. Then your thought, your mundane mind is not so clouded. So this is how space between thought come about. When avijja is attenuated or reduced, sankhara also reduced, then you hardly think. That's why there is more space. More space. When you are heedless, there is no space. And when there is no space, like the example I given you, the momentum of thinking got no break. That's why you become habitual. Then you become heedless, continuously think. But when you have more and more space, means you break the momentum. Then every movement need more of this strength to move it. Because when you don't have momentum, it cannot arise. Then you need condition. Then you have more right view. The right view will not be deluded. Then it will come and protect you. That's why you don't think like before. Then you have more and more quietness, tranquility. That is what space between thought is all about. Okay, continue.
Training the heedless or mundane mind. You can train your mind because it is heedless. So train the heedless mind, the mundane mind. Then when that one ceases or is no longer active, then the nature comes out or shine forth. The nature don't practice. You don't try to practice to be aware because your true mind or your true nature, they are already aware. And you only need to be silent, then it will manifest. Because the nature is awareness itself, so why must you practice to be aware? What you already have within your nature, you don't have to train or practice to get it, isn't it? When you don't have, then you have to train. You have to practice. Just like the mundane mind, which is heedless, thinks a lot, restless, with all the emotions and illusion. That one you need to train. That's why you only train the mundane mind. But to develop sati and mindfulness, you don't go and practice. Understand or not? The Buddha taught you 5 ways to overcome.
Wait, next time I change this, can you understand better? Understand or not, it's not English. That is Malaysian English. Malaysian English different. Where? He assumes you know already. There. Never explain. Okay, continue.
The Buddha taught you 5 ways to overcome unwholesome thoughts. And the 3rd way is what? Just aware. Understand? Can you understand? Don't do anything. Then the mundane mind will return to its original state before the stirring and will come to realize that the original state of mind before the stirring is already aware. And this awareness is the silence, is peace, is the tranquility and the stillness. So you don't try to be aware. You only have to understand that the moment you don't think, this awareness is already there. It is in fact all the time there. But because you are clouded by thought, deluded by thought, actively chasing after thought, you cannot see and you cannot understand. Why? Because you lack mindfulness or awareness, and the meditator, which is a thought, is so active. So how can there be silence? That's why the real meditation is just silence.
This one very important. If you cannot understand this, you will be gullible. You will be doing all the thought-based meditation like before. That's why very difficult to progress, very difficult to develop the understanding. So now you see what happened to most so-called meditator 20 years, 30 years, 40 years or so like that. Because they don't understand what is meditation. Okay, next paragraph. Continue.
But initially, you cannot be silent because the mundane mind got a lot of mental hindrances, a lot of delusion, sakkaya ditti. That's why it thinks a lot, because all of your conscious living since birth until now, you use thoughts, endlessly using thoughts. That's why they say the heedless thinks a lot. So now you understand why most of you think a lot. It is only either at a retreat or if you had cultivated before in the past, then for certain moments of your life, you may experience the silence. Then the moment you experience it, you will know the big difference between the heedless thinking mind and the heedful silent mind. That's why when you see the difference between the two, you would determine never to become heedless anymore, because the heedful state is so beautiful, whereas the heedless state is so full of suffering, problems and delusion, leading to all the fear, worry, sorrow, lamentation, anxiety and misery, all of the so-called problems of life. And that's the reason why Krishnamurti say, problems will always exist when the activity of the self, which is the ego, is there. You can never be free. Then after that, what did Krishnamurti say? Awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. So you don't go and foolishly practice to be mindful. You only need to train your mundane mind to be quiet while anchoring it to something so that it will not wander off, so that it can stay with the object of meditation, so that it can be with the moment without thought. After you have anchored it, you have to stabilize it until it becomes very quiet and still. Anchor it through what? Through that awareness. Since the mind can only do one thing at a time, so if you think a lot, then how can you train the mundane mind? So you have to anchor it to something so that it doesn't wander off. Just aware of in and out breath. You train the mundane mind to just be mindful of the in and out breath until one day when this mundane mind comes to realize that if it listens to you, it will be very peaceful. If it didn't listen to you, it will become very heedless. This is the beginning. That's why I say, the moment you can train your mind to be aware, that's only the beginning of real meditation. Now you understand what I meant. Last time, you all could not understand. Question. You mean after attending all the retreats, I come back, I still haven't started the real meditation? Answer by Brother Teo. Yes, you haven't started because you could not understand what sati is.
Oh, now you understand, huh? In and out of retreat or four. You haven't started the real meditation. We are out of retreat, you become heedless again. The Buddha said very clearly, Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. Then you somehow say, wow, at the retreat I experienced this, I experienced that, and I got this, I got that. Then you attach. Next retreat, look for it. Cannot get, miserable. My meditation, lousy. This retreat, I don't know what happened. Maybe not enough effort, they say. Put in more effort. Lagi kaulat. Krishna Murti say, wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. Who is making effort? The thought. The egoic mind that want to meditate, that want to become enlightened. So when you don't understand, you can be gullible and you can be caught. Okay, we stop here because 12 o'clock already. You're supposed to go for lunch. So, very good. Good progress. I got another 10 pages to go. Or 8 pages to go. Photo session again. No, you have to wait for Sifu, isn't it? No, without Sifu. Our own group one. Okay. So now go down. Okay. Photo session. No. Clean up tomorrow. We have tomorrow no more of this presentation to Sifu already, right? Clean up tomorrow. Don't. Tonight I need the night session to do the closing. The official. They all got a lot of things to do that one. Don't use that for cleaning. Otherwise you waste the whole retreat. Tomorrow hell of time. After breakfast, you can clean. Because tomorrow second part is no more of this. What they call formality, to present the donation, the offering. Then we need to meet up with the what they call abbot or the one that is in charge of this temple. What is his name? The Sifu? Fa Chan Sifu. Fa Chan Sifu. Tang Jia. Oh, Tang Jia. Okay, call him Sifu lah. Yeah, Fa Chen, Chen, Chan, not Chen, Chan, Fa Chan, Fa Chan, Chan Hui the Chan, Fa Chan, okay. I better speak English, somebody translate for me. No, the thing I forgot, I better speak English, otherwise I mix up everything, pronounce wrongly, Lagi Kaulat. Okay. So we go down for photo session, then we come back here at 1:30. You remember, make use of tonight for all your cleaning of your room, everything, pack, and do whatever you need to do. So that the next morning we prepare to final cleaning, and then we can leave this place after breakfast or what. Okay? So tonight is for you to prepare your whatever belonging. Don't last minute tomorrow only, start to do this and do that. Then the final cleaner is very important. We have to leave this place like when we come, or cleaner.